Good morning, and good that everybody's joining us today. This is I'm looking forward to this presentation today. Lisa Benz, she's the head of events committee for Ski for Light, and Lisa and some highlights from Linda, our friend Linda in Surrey, are going to tell us all about Ski for Light, how it came to pass, where the event is placed, and what we're going to do is sort of have a narrative story. Bob and I will just ask general questions, and at the end, there'll be time for questions from the group, from our members. So, Lisa, what is Ski for Light?
Well, thank you very much for having me. And Ski for Light is an organization I discovered just 3 years ago. It focuses on cross-country skiing. And I did a lot of digging to find out stuff for this presentation, and I learned something really interesting. So back in the 90s, Ski for Light started with a blind musician who was performing at a military event. And when the trucks went by, they left some really big divots in the snow. And he put his skis on and he went for 10 kilometers by himself in these tracks. And he said it was just like getting his vision back. And he was just so incredibly, excited. And so he went on to develop Ski for Light. Essentially, it was called Race for Light originally, but called Ski for Light in Ritteren, that's in Norway. And it's still an event that comes now that happens. And it started in 1964. Yeah, which is amazing. And then in 1975, his name is Erling. So Erling and another instructor were in the US, and then they started to ski for light in the US. So that was in 75. And then Canada, our Ski for Light. Like Linda, this is interesting. It's been going since 1978, every single year. And our original Ski for Light was held in Castlegar, British Columbia, funnily enough. And Erling and his guide flew over from Norway to participate. So, really, I thought that was really interesting. And Ski for Light, we aim to promote confidence and relationship building and fun. At all different levels at Ski for Light. So there's no rules that you have to be like a super good skier. I, in fact, didn't know how to cross country ski. And so we pair individuals together. We have in the event coming up in 2026 in January, we will have 40 blind participants and we will have 40 sighted. And so we go through and pair people according to ability with a guide. And you stay for the whole week with that guide, which was really nice. So you get to build that relationship, build that trust. And they are just kind of there to oversee. So if you're there on your own, they will come get you for dinners. Our guides also take us through the buffet style meals. That's part of their role as well. So it's a very inclusive, accessible environment, not to worry about going there at all and kind of being left and wondering what to do. So it's really
Lisa.
about building friendships and meaningful connections.
And Lisa, maybe you could tell me
Large eight.
where it's held.
It's held this year, it's held in William Watson Lodge. So that's in Kananaskis. It's about an hour and a bit outside of Calgary. William Watson Lodge used to be an older lodge with some older cabins. And from what I understand, they could go ski there anytime. And it wasn't very well used. Heritage Alberta put a whole bunch of money into it about 5 years ago, I guess just after COVID. And now everybody wants to be there. So it's quite, you got to book it ahead of time. And they got all these rules. But it's beautiful. They've redone the entire lodge, big, big deck overlooking a frozen lake and a number of probably 25 cabins that are just gorgeous. Yeah.
So the Lisa,
For all levels of disability.
size in Canada is about 80, and you've got aspirations to get up to what, 120 or 150, something like that in the future.
We do like that's right. The Ritteren in Norway, it hosts some 500 people.
Wow,
And the one
that's
in the
no.
States hosts about two. It's huge, eh? Norway.
Yeah, that's
And they
incredible.
have the military actually that helps and guides. And apparently it's quite a quite neat. I'd love to go there one day. And
I
then
was going to
the
ask, have
US
you
Ski for
gone?
Life. No, I've not. But a lot of people that come have, and they just rave about it. Yeah. And the US one is about 250, and we're at 80 this year. And last year was our largest, the one that Linda came to. And we had it in Canmore, and we skied actually at the Canmore Nordic Center, which is the old Olympic place. And it was fabulous. And we had 105 people. And next year, we're going back to Canmore. We're hoping to have 110. That'll be our largest.
And that's an Olympic training facility now. It's a legacy from the Olympics, but it's used by
It is.
top performance athletes as well, right?
Yeah. And so when we were there, booking it, we've just booked for 2027, and we had to book around like biathlon races and, like you say, very high-end people that are training. So sometimes when we were skiing, our guides would say, "Hey, here comes one of those, biathlon guys," and they're in the fancy suits, or they got their guns, and they're just ripping by us. So it's really neat.
On a typical day, Lisa, once you're at the camp, what would you normally do? I know you get up for breakfast and things like that, but how many times a day could you ski, or if you wanted to ski?
Well, good question. We William Watson, there's no busing involved in getting to the hill. In Canmore, we need to leave Canmore City and then go up to the Nordic Center. So you, from your cabin, you can just walk out with your guide, and you can ski as much as you want. So you can ski in the morning. There's long morning sessions. You can ski in the afternoon. So you could probably ski 6, 7 hours a day if you wanted to.
Wow.
There's lessons available, which is great. And there's also guide workshops. If you've never guided before and people want to be guides, we provide a workshop that just started a couple of years ago. And if you only want to ski a bit, like I like to ski in the morning, sometimes I'll go in the afternoon, but mostly, I'll go walk the dog. I'm not too interested in skiing 7 or 8 hours a day anymore. I guess that means I'm getting old. But so you re it's really very flexible, whatever works for you and your guide.
Now, do you bring your dogs with you then when you go to these events, Lisa? Your dogs?
Yeah, you
Sorry.
bring your dogs in the cabins. They're great. There's lots of walking area. And when we were at Canmore, we actually had two lady volunteer ladies that had like a dog babysitting area in the Canmore Nordic Center, which was very popular to everybody coming in the door. They all wanted to see the dogs.
Great.
And they walked them while we skied. Yeah.
Now, when you ski, I think I asked you this the other day too. You pair up with your guide, and you can either have your guide behind you or in front of you, whatever feels comfortable for the level that you're at, correct?
Yeah, it is totally depends on, how comfortable you are, kind of, I guess, what your vision is, if you can see your guide in front of you in the tracks, or if the guide is behind, then they can kind of watch you. I feel the ideal is what we had in the Nordic Canmore was that we had the tracks beside each other. So your guide was right beside you, which was fantastic. So going up and downhill, sometimes they'll take your pole and just take it. Dip it a little bit at the angle that you're going down. So it's just really good kind of orientation. We have a fellow, Ron, that comes from Saskatchewan. He likes to wear the Bluetooth headsets like we do in downhill skiing. He finds those really good. We have tried those, my guide and I, up in Sun Peaks, and I just find them a little disorienting. Like if it's super icy, I like them because you can hear. But otherwise, they're just in your head. You're not quite sure where they are. Whereas if you just hear their voice, kind of referentially where they are in space. So it's totally whatever works. And the language that, you get between you and your guide, stop is kind of non-negotiable, right? We say sit, actually. So in cross country, if you hear sit anywhere, you just sit and something's going down.
So for people that don't cross
But yeah,
country
it's.
ski, could you describe what the tracks are? And back to that story at the beginning, the musician, that's amazing. But from that, even in Olympic competitions, tracks are very important for the comp for a skiing cross country. Could you describe that and how the double set of tracks side by side?
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent question. So there's two types of cross country skiing. you'll hear about. One is called skate skiing. So those people don't go on tracks and they skate and go very fast, like pushing themselves right and left, as if they're skating, but it's on snow. So what Ski for Light does is called classic skiing. So classic is where a machine comes and lays tracks. So if you can imagine a flat, snowy surface, this machine's going along and it's laying tracks probably 2 inches deep and maybe 5 inches wide. And so that's where your skis are in. So once you're in there, you know exactly where you are, you're very settled. And then you can just, they call it striding. So you kind of push right foot forward and the left foot, and you kind of do the opposite with your poles and you're gliding in between. So those are the tracks, classic tracks. Yeah. And ideally, they're side by side. So there's two tracks on, and so there's four tracks, basically two for your guide and two for you. And so up here in Sun Peaks, we have a lot of cross-country skiing, but we don't have the width to be able to do that many tracks. So we have only two tracks. So my guide's either behind me, often she's behind me or beside me. I actually go out with two people. So one's off the track, I'm in the track, and then someone's behind me in the track.
So
And that seems to work
if you're
well.
really gutsy and trusted the track layout and kind of knew it was described to you by a guide, and it was a circuit of 5K or something, you could actually go out blind without a guide and just follow the track and loop around to the starting point again.
Sure.
Could do that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you knew nobody was around. So if it was an empty area and there was the tracks and just you and you knew for sure nobody else was out there. Because it hurts if you crash into each other. But if it was empty, absolutely. Yeah. And so sometimes, like my guide will say to me, oh, you know this track. Like it's part of what we call the golf course. And so she'll say, okay, you're just good to go. And then I can just go for quite a long time just by myself until the tracks run out and we have to go over this little bridge. So you're right. It's very freeing. You just can go totally by yourself.
I think that's quite unique as to a freedom to do. And the only thing you'd really have to know is there's a hill coming up and it's a slight hill. And I remember there's a turn coming up, but the track will do the turn for me. And the whole thing is going to take me maybe half an hour, and then I'll be back and I'll meet up with my guide back at the loop.
The times you're going to get at your own private cross-country loop is probably slim to none, but it might exist.
You go out at
Yeah.
midnight because nobody else would be out
Yeah,
then.
exactly. That's a good time. No lights required. We could go at midnight. I like it. That's good. So I guess another question might be the cost of attending these events.
That's what I was thinking.
Are we? Yeah. So we work really hard as a board. There's six of us on the board. It just happens right now there's three of us that are blind and three that are sighted. So I think that's the first time. They've usually had five sighted and one blind. So we have a very active fundraising committee. We are sponsored and are actually under the auspices of Sons of Norway. They have a foundation and they are like fundraising. And so they are very, very good to us in terms of finances. We also do a lot of grant writing for Alberta to get grants to cover some of the costs. So to give you an idea, at William Watson Lodge, to host 80 of us is going to be about 60, 65,000. And the skiers paying 700 to attend. That's all your meals, all your skiing, all your guiding, all your lessons. And a guide is paying 500 to attend. Sorry, and all
So
your accommodations as well.
the only thing extra that the skier would need to provide is be ski rentals and travel to get there then, Lisa.
Correct. Yeah, your plane, the bus, we get that covered off pretty well. So it's usually about $60 to go from Calgary to the event and back again. And then at Canmore, because that's so heavily subsidized at William Watson because of this heritage parks thing they have there. At Canmore, when we went there, the cost for 100 people was $165,000. It was super expensive. And that hosted 100 people. But we kept the cost for participating the same with 700 and 500. And you're right, then the cost of renting your equipment Or you can bring your equipment and you have your airline ticket.
What other things are there to do besides the cross-country skiing and stuff, Lisa? Like you have events and things like that?
Yeah, we have events every night. So after the week of skiing, so this time we arrive on a Sunday. So on the Monday morning, there will be some guide training. Then we'll head out and ski the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then the highlight of the week are races, just fun races to participate. And so you go in a race of either 2.5, so that's one loop, like Fraser was talking about, or 5 kilometers is two loops. Or you can go 10 kilometers, which is four loops. So that's during the day. So that's a highlight of the week for a lot of people. And then in the evening, we have a super guy that used to participate. He's blind. He's a Scottish fellow, and he's fantastic at trivia. So he runs a trivia night. We have music jams just to keep with the theory theme of Erling. And so we have music jams every day at 4 o'clock, and different people lead it. I often lead it because I play a couple of instruments. But we have a lot of people that play instruments, so it's great. So that's fun. We usually have a dance and an open bar. What did we do last? Linda could, I think she got karaoke, I think we did last year. So yeah, every evening there is a scheduled event for people to go to if they please.
And I guess there's
But there's
hot
no
tubs.
real rules.
I guess there's hot tubs and things like that
Yes.
for people to relax in as well after skiing.
Yes, there are. Yeah.
Good.
Last year it was -39. And I can Linda can tell you too, when you go in the hot tub at that temperature, ooh, you don't want to get your hair wet. Just breaks off. Oh, it was cold last year, yeah.
Just wear a toque in the hot tub, that's all.
Exactly, that's what we did. And actually the funny thing is when it was so cold, you could tell people that didn't need vision for skiing, my guide was saying, because we just pull our toques right down to our chin. Because it was so cold.
I did that in
But
Alberta
yeah, it's a
when I
really
lived.
fun event, very relaxed. Yeah,
That's
very
like
relaxed,
skiing at
very
midnight.
encouraging. Yeah.
So
And the
there's a
last
hot tub
night
and
at William Watson, we have a large, there's a big canopy, and there's about, I don't know, 60 people can go around a campfire. So 2 years ago, everybody brought out guitars and we all played and sang, and that was a lot of fun too. So it's neat.
you
It's half
still have
social, half
to.
exercise.
Do you still have to bring your own sleeping bags in that?
You can rent a sleeping bag. Yeah, in the hotel, you don't have to bring anything, but at William Watson, yeah, it's $30 to rent a sleeping bag,
Yeah,
or you can
because I
bring your
used
own.
to go in the early 1990s,
Oh,
and
cool. Neat.
yeah, and I went in the slower race, whatever that was, 2 kilometers.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. Oh, that's fun. Well, the lodge now apparently is gorgeous. It's quite fancy. I've never didn't know the older lodge.
Well, I hadn't been there, just Castlegar, Saskatoon, and North Battleford, but
Oh, wow.
not Kananaskis, but it sounds like it's changed a lot since then. So
Yes, you were at the inaugural event then in Castlegar. I didn't know that's where it
no,
started.
it was around 89. Was that the inaugural event?
1978.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't doing it back then. Just in the late 1980s to 90.
Cool. Well, we have a pretty active website, skiforlightcanada.ca. So there's, videos on there, and there's lots of the information, latest information. We just hired an administrative person to help us out because we're growing so fast, and takes us like about a solid year, six of us, to get all this organized. So she's done a very good job on the website getting it up to date. If you guys want any more information.
Maybe we could hear from Linda Weber, who's
Yeah.
first time
Linda.
venture out last year, and what she thought of it, and bang for your buck type of thing.
Yeah. Would she come again?
Yeah, would you go again, I guess?
As long as you can turn the heat up a little bit.
Not
Exactly.
Linda, it's not Hawaii.
No, it was a bit of
Oh, it was
culture
the
shock.
Arctic, Bob. It was the Arctic.
But we were out there. So the first 2 days it was, yeah, minus 30. But our group was out there, so we were pretty hardy. But no, if even if you've never cross-country skied before, which I hadn't, actually my first taste was in Sun Peaks just like a month before. I was up visiting Lisa and we went out a few times just around the village. But yeah,
She was a
with
rock
the how
star,
they
just to let you guys know. She went in those tracks and took off.
well, you can't leave the tracks, right? So the only
Yeah.
time you could leave the tracks is when there's crisscrossing tracks. And I think that was about the only time that like a guide would like you would really need a guide. Because then you have to find the tracks like after you cross the little road crossing area. But no, they, you know, in the evenings, yeah, we did the trivia and the karaoke, and they also bring in entertainment for us. So they, I mean, you can participate as much as you want, or, you know, if you want to relax in your room, it's very easy. It's easygoing. And the volunteers there are amazing. They believe in what they're doing. They want to be with people. They want to help. So, I mean, I can't say more about the volunteers and the guides.
Linda, they met you
That's a
at
good
the,
point. The volunteers are
and
amazing,
Linda,
which
they
is
met you
such
at
a
the airport, no
volunteer.
problem, in Calgary.
They meet you at your
They meet
flights.
you. Yep. They met us. It was a little bit confusing because our flight was delayed by 3 hours. We flew out actually the day in February when we got the snow in Vancouver.
Oh.
So our flight was delayed by 3 hours. We were supposed to get there and then relax in the hospitality room until the bus came to pick us up. But as it turned out, we had to get off the bus and go or get off the plane and go straight to the bus. But no, they have the bus waiting for us. The volunteers are at the airport. They get you to the hotel. I think it was about a 2 hour drive.
Yeah, and they take all our luggage and they put them like we, they're labeled with the room and stuff in the cabin, so they do all that. They're amazing. The volunteers are just so dedicated, like Linda said, and they're so,
Well,
they make it really easy.
it's the organizing committee,
Yes,
right?
that's
That
right.
takes care of all that.
Yeah,
You
we have a
could go
lot of
there. Like
repeat
I went there.
volunteers. We have a lot of repeat people that come and just love it. Yeah.
No, you could go on your own without, like I didn't go with anybody. The only people I knew there was Lisa and Dawn. And I don't know where you guys were when I first got there.
Ours was
So,
delayed too. We were delayed from Kamloops because we had a big snowstorm too.
yeah, right?
Yeah.
So you could go there on your own without like a sighted person with you.
Did you find you brought enough warm clothes with you with how cold it was, guys?
No, I had to buy what do you call those things? It's that face cover thing.
Oh, like a
It's
balaclava. Yeah, you
yeah,
get
yeah, but
over your face, yeah.
it's that thin one. I can't remember what they're called, but and I did actually end up buying another Under Armour thing. I
Right.
wasn't expecting minus 30. I didn't know what that felt like.
No. Yeah, one day it was minus 39, and then we were putting Vaseline on our faces. Remember that, Linda? And we had to go in like
Oh.
every 15 minutes so people could check if people have frostbite. But
Yeah, so
usually a
even
lot of people don't go out at that temperature. Like you don't have to go, but we wanted to go just 'cause.
no, and they said that like they wanted you to go out in pairs of four and at least two sighted people because the sighted person needed to make sure the other person wasn't getting frostbite.
What
Yeah,
does
it was
Vaseline do?
crazy.
Blocks the wind and protects your skin. Yeah, anything like below 20 or 25, that's the real go-to, even in downhill skiing.
Was
Yeah, protects you from getting frostbite.
it windy while the temperature was that low, or is it not too bad for wind?
It was windy.
Okay.
Windy. I think it depends which tracks you're on. Some
When
tracks are
you
more protected by
go higher
forests and,
up.
trees.
Right.
Yeah, the less you get of the trees, like as you get more in the alpine, then the wind was,
Yeah.
yeah, biting, I guess would be the word.
So the guide I had, Judy, she lives in
She lives there in Panmore, so she skis there all the time. So she knew where to take me, and she knew I was a beginner. So she made sure, like, we stayed on the kind of the more gentle routes to start with. But I was starting to ski downhill and snow plowing
Good.
and
You're
stalking.
yeah. It was very,
So it
it's
didn't
very
get you.
encouraging. Would you say that, Linda? Like, it's a very encouraging environment. I remember the first year I went and didn't know how to ski, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, no, it's good. You're okay." And they just kind of coach you through, and before you know, you are going
She
down the
just.
hills, and you are snow plowing, and you are doing the things, and you're like, "Wow, that's cool." And then finally, you're kind of going in the tracks around a corner, going down the hill, and you think, "Wow,
So it didn't
yeah."
take you that long to catch on then, Linda, really?
No, I mean, I downhill ski before, and I did go cross country skiing once, but that was like 25 years ago. But I don't know if my downhill skiing experience helped out. But no, I felt pretty comfortable right
Did
away.
lift it down.
It's good.
Did you race on the Friday,
That's
Linda?
good. And up in Sun Peaks. Oh yeah, did you race?
No, I didn't. I was a chicken.
I didn't race either.
So like
So,
Linda was, there's no pressure to race even at a novice category. If you don't want to race, you don't
no,
race. You could
you don't
actually just,
race, yeah.
yeah,
So
okay.
they don't do a novice category. They go by distance and site category.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so B3, B2, B1, whatever your vision level is, that's what category you get put in. So
And male and female,
yeah, male.
yeah, and
So
distance.
it's kind of funny because almost, because there's, I don't know how many categories, because there's three vision classes, three different distance, and then so almost everybody who races gets a medal, like gold, silver, or bronze,
Yeah,
right? Because
and we
there's
have a
so
banquet.
few
It's really
people.
fun. Yeah,
Yeah.
and we do a silent
So,
auction. That's another thing, so people can bring silent auction items.
so
And
some
live auction.
people, we use the B1, B2, and B3 in competitive curling, but could you describe what that is for people that don't know what we're talking about?
Sure. You want to describe it, Linda? Do you want me?
Oh, well, B1 is no vision, like totally blind. B2 is, I think, more like light and shape perception. And a B3, you could walk around. You could walk around without a cane.
Yeah. They're categories that the International Sport Organization for the Disabled, like ISOD, has created for trying to standardize, who we compete against. So you don't have someone who can walk around without a cane or a dog against someone that's totally blind. Because you can anticipate so much when you can see, right? Yeah, so that's a standard thing, like you say, Fraser, used in curling,
Yeah,
downhill
I
skiing.
for
Yeah.
all the
Swimming, every, I
competitive,
think it's
yeah,
all the
low
competitive
vision.
sports, yeah.
It's yeah, it's a standard with low vision and blind. Just as you say, to get the categories that are fair, and then you're in a group of very similar low vision or blindness.
So this is on the honor system. Like there's no, you're not tested. It's just self-reporting.
Yeah,
And
correct. That's right.
I don't think people are going to cheat to try to get into a different category. I hope not.
But in
Marsh
our
or Yale
category, there
has
is Linda and I. What's that?
Marsh or Yale
Was
has her
gonna say there
hand
is.
up if yeah.
Oh, Marsha does. Okay, what's up, Marsha?
Hello,
Marsha
Lisa.
counts.
Hi,
Hello,
Lisa.
Marsha. How are you? Hi.
I'm
So
good.
yeah, chime in.
Yeah,
Marsha knows
well.
more than I do. She's a longer participant.
No, I didn't realize that 3 years ago was your first time too, because the that was my first time. So I've been to William Watson
Oh, was it?
twice.
Oh, okay, I
And
didn't know. Okay.
yeah, I didn't realize that. Lisa and I seem to follow each other around Ski for Light. We've had next door cabins a few times, I think. Yeah. Yeah, the first
Nottingham and
year.
Tara taking off.
Yes, Nottingham and Tara. That's my dog and hers.
Those are the dogs and my dog, yeah.
So I, when Lisa mentioned the dog sitting that happened in Canmore at the Nordic Center, all I could think of was my dog. They loved him, so they groomed him. So he got free grooming, got his claws clipped, got his,
Like,
Wow, it was a
he
spa.
left. Yeah, it was a spa day for him. But Ski
Oh.
for Light is they take you at your level, wherever you are and wherever you want to be. So I don't like hills. I like just tootling along on a flat surface and maybe for a half an hour, maybe for 45 minutes, maybe once a day, maybe twice a day. And they're okay with that. So they meet you where you want to be.
Good
So
point.
if you've
Very good
never
point.
skied before and you don't know what it's going to be like, you don't have to be worried that someone is going to make you do more than you want to do, because you are the one that is the boss. You're the one that determines how long you go out, how often you go out, and your guide is just there to facilitate that. And if they get some extra skiing in, well, so much the better for them. That's what I used to
Yeah,
say to
excellent
mine.
point. Yeah, they meet you where you are. And so if
Yeah,
you want to
they
go
do.
like often in the afternoon, bring your books and,
That's
knitting,
right.
whatever you
Yep.
like, and just chill out. They're beautiful. Put the fire on and relax. Visit your
That's
friends
right.
next door. Exactly.
Curl up in the lodge, in the
Yeah.
library. That's what I did a couple of times when I was at William Watson. Canmore was different, being in a hotel. It had its advantages, in my opinion, but William Watson has its advantages. One of them being that your skiing is right there, so you're not hopping a bus for 15 minutes to get somewhere else. You're literally, you can walk out your cabin door, and depending on which cabin you're at, you could be almost right on the ski trails, which is really, really neat. Honestly, Ski for Light has been a lot of fun, and I'm going next year. I've registered. So,
Yay,
are you
good.
going next year, Lisa?
I'm going, yeah, 2026. Yahoo!
Woohoo! Oh yeah. No, it's honestly, they meet you where you are. If you want to register, I would do it soon because it's going to be a very small group this year.
We're actually sold out for
Are we?
2026. Yeah.
It's
So
already,
registration's
wow,
open till November
okay.
30th, but it's sold out. So the registration for 2027 will come out n a year September. Yeah. But I can keep everybody
Wow.
opposed. But yeah, we
But
sold out this year, so that's the first time.
they usually have a wait list. I don't know if they do
Yep,
now,
correct.
but
Yeah, you can go on a wait list.
yeah,
Yeah.
because things change.
That's a good point.
Yeah, things change. But it
Yeah, life
is,
happens.
life happens. But it is, it's great. And Linda, I don't know if I met you this year. We might have met There were
at
so many people.
Canmore.
Yeah, there were
I
so many people,
know.
right? And you're sitting with your usual group all the time. So I was meeting people from BC on the day we were leaving on Saturday. I said, I didn't know you were here.
We're trying to find a way that we can, how can we tell people who's there, right? That's always the hard part when you have a large group of blind people.
Unless you're going to do a roll call, which could take a couple of
Exactly.
hours. Yeah, that's right.
We're
But
trying to
look
figure out
online.
some icebreaker for
Yeah,
this
an
year, some way we
icebreaker
will know.
somehow.
Yeah,
That's
so
a great idea.
we're gonna try something like that.
Maybe assign people to different tables or. Yeah, the trouble is you never know
Yeah,
when
people
someone's
hate to
going
be
to show
assigned.
up. And yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, no, but it is honestly, it's a great event. And I'm glad I knew about it, but I'm glad that I was sort of not coerced, but encouraged to attend 3 years ago. Peter Quiatini, who is the board president right now, who is also a member of AEBC and who I've known, well, since we took a canoe trip together when we were 15, and then we didn't see each other forever. But he talked me into it. And that's how it gets around, is word of mouth.
Yeah,
I think
that's
that's
funny.
our.
Peter was the one that talked. I found out about it because my brother Mark is also blind. He was hiking with Peter in the Kootenay somewhere. And so he phones me when he gets home. He goes, "Hey, do you want to go to some cross-country ski thing?" And I said, "Well, what's that about?" And he goes, "Oh, this guy, Peter, I'm with, says it's really fun. Let's sign up." And I said, "Okay." And
Yeah, Mark
that's how
had a
we
good
found out
time
about it.
too.
Oh, he had a great time. He's coming this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific.
So
Yeah,
that
he'll be
the
there this
time
year.
that people can now start to go to the website and look at the information and think about going is 2027 now, right, Lisa?
Correct.
Correct.
It'll be the last week of January if people are booking that far ahead, 2027, and we'll be staying at the Coast Canmore, and we'll be skiing in
Okay.
the Canmore At
Nordic
the
Centre
Nordic
again. So it'll
Center
be
again?
fun.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll have the new building. Remember they were renovating a building last year, but apparently it's all finished. So we'll have
Ooh.
that building to gather in. So it'll be nice.
I hope they put the wax, they give us a wax room
So do
closer to the
I.
main. Yeah. No, but it was the every honestly, every it's wow, it's sold out. I didn't realize that. Ah, glad I
Yeah, we were
registered.
really surprised. Yeah.
It's
So
maybe
it's
this
a
a good
fun
time
event. And I
that
think the word is getting out. Like one of the guys on the board said, I think it's getting sold out and so busy because like half of the board now is blind. And before most of the board was sighted. And so we all natter to each
Oh.
other, right? And I talked Linda into it. And I said, let's go cross country skiing when you're up at Sun Peaks. And she was such a good sport. She goes, yeah, let's try it. And I go, okay, look, come with us to ski for light. So I think now that there's more of us, the word's getting out, which is neat.
Almost be
Yeah.
great if we could somehow get it into BC here too, Lisa. I know it's a ton of work, but
It would be.
it would be
Oh, we could
nice for
probably
them.
work with, I don't know. Yeah, a group of us, maybe we could work with Sons of Norway. They're such good sponsors. I didn't realize until you guys were asking me questions the other day of, had it been in BC, had it been in Saskatchewan. And so it's the three Western provinces. So it has been in BC. So it's been done. I know there was one in Silver Star in Vernon.
I wonder why they moved to Alberta. I wonder what the draw was.
Rich
I guess it
province.
was cheaper,
Rich province, and
maybe.
so we can have William Watson, right, for 60 grand
Yeah.
instead of 165,000. Yeah.
Hello, this is
So we have to do a
Tilo.
lot of fundraising to cover 160. Yeah.
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 So I think Tilo wanted to ask a question.
Okay. Hi, Tilo.
Yes. I used to be part of a ski group here, cross country here. Many years ago, and they somewhat followed. I know they go to Kananaskis once a year. They're called Ski for Light.
Yeah, this is the same group that we're all talking about.
I see. Yeah, here in Vancouver, it's almost not really going, but I do know they go to that particular place all the time for the, I don't know how many seasons now. It was a good program. I enjoyed it. And before I joined, I heard they used to go to Manning Park and stay at the lodge for the whole weekend. And then when I got in, they didn't have enough money, so they only go for a day, on a Sunday. It's
Oh,
a kind of
okay.
a long day, but it was quite fun. I enjoyed it very much. So I
Our
think
mandate
maybe.
now is to do a 6-day event every year, and we actually are now looking into a 3-day event for people that can't commit like the whole 6 days. Running out of a place in Edmonton. I don't know if anyone knows it, called Strathcona Lodge. It's all flat marsh. You probably would love it. So a couple of people are going up there to look at that site, and that would be another option.
Where
We're
was that?
just looking
Sorry,
at
I
that.
missed that. Where
It's
was
outside
that?
of Edmonton. Outside of
Oh,
Edmonton.
and they're thinking of doing
Strathcona
a 3 day?
Lodge.
Wow, 3 days
A 3-day,
is.
like a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
No, that's expensive to fly from Ontario to Alberta for 3 days.
Yeah.
No, I'll do the six
Exactly,
day
yeah.
one. Yeah, no.
Yeah, the
Great for
6-day one was
locals,
right,
though.
yeah.
Great
Yeah,
for
we went to
locals.
North,
Yeah,
yeah, it was
good for
good.
locals, yeah.
Is there any other
North
questions
Battleford,
from
that must have
people might
been.
have? They would have to unmute and ask Lisa and Marsha and Linda.
Lisa, have you done anything in the downhill skiing for blind people? I'm pretty sure you have.
Yeah, I'm very involved in the downhill skiing for blind people. So, I was very involved as a young woman skiing and ski racing in my 20s. And so here, Canadian Association of Disabled Sports have many, many local programs. Probably all of you are aware, like across the whole country, and provide teaching and guides for anyone who wants to do downhill skiing. So on Sun Peaks here, I've lived here for about 13 years. And so because somebody's blind who lives here, we've actually had the opportunity to train so many good guides. And even in cross country, like they're just so interested in what we do as blind people. Like everyone's like, oh, I'll help you. How about this? What should I tell you? What do I need to know? And so I've actually had the opportunity in the downhill ski program is to teach our national program, has a blind and visually impaired section. So we do an off snow kind of just chatting about blindness, different visual impairments, that kind of thing, do a little sighted guiding, and then we go out and do demos on snow. Which is really fun. And we're probably going to do that for cross country now because people saw me out there a lot with our blind skier vests. And then they saw Linda. And then one of the guys, Phil, who was guiding Linda, actually heads the whole thing up. And he's just very stoked. So now we're going to be able to train more guides in the cross country area. So it's kind of like a little unknown place where there's a lot of great guides. That's for
Almost like the
sure.
snowball effect where ball keeps rolling and gets bigger and bigger. That's great.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's neat.
Any other questions out there?
If you think of anything, we can certainly, just email or we can answer later too.
Yeah, like, well, Anne and Brandon will send this out as a recording. And people may have some questions at that point too, Lisa.
Okay. Yeah, good. Well, thank you all for listening and thanks for your participation, Linda and Marsha. It's good. And you guys giving some good questions, Bob and
This
Fraser.
is great. It just sounds like it's so hospitable, so welcoming, and so accommodating. And accessibility is key. It's nice to have your board with three blind and three visual, sighted. I think that gets a good balance as to what is it we're really trying to do here.
Yeah, and what really are the hurdles? It's very interesting. Like even sometimes they'll send out, well, Marshall will know this too from AABC, but they'll say, okay, just go on the Google Drive and look at this and look at that. And you're like, well, it's not accessible. So like, how about we get another system? So even little things like that, they learn kind of more what life is really like when you're blind, the other half of the board. So it's cool. And the guides are just like Linda and Marshall were saying, they're just there to meet us where we are and they're wonderful. The volunteers, and they love it.
Sounds
And
like
some
a
of them are
very
like ex, they're so nice. And my brother Mark is like a super fast skier, so he's got this like ex World Cup seniors lady called Sylvia, who's an amazing skier and so accomplished in her own right. And she loves her and her husband to come and guide at these things and give back. They're just so, they're lovely. Hey, did you meet them, Marcia? Norbert and Sylvia.
I think I met Sylvia, but
So
I never
sweet, yeah.
met him. But yeah, I think I did meet Sylvia at some point.
Yeah, they're very committed and, like you say, accessible, welcoming. It's something you can come to even on your own, and you don't have to worry that there's not going to be any pressure to perform. You don't need to go in the 10K race and make it in 5 minutes or whatever. There's
No,
no pressure.
I've never done the races, and I probably never will. It's just not my
No, I don't
thing.
think I ever. I did the first year, and I. Oh, no. So that's good. Well, thank you for your interest, and thanks for asking me to
Lisa, thanks
give
for
some
all your
information about
thanks,
it.
Lisa. That's great.
Yeah.
It sounds it just makes you feel good to hear about something like this.
Makes you want to sign up for 2027.
Excellent. BC will rule 2027. We'll take over the
Oh, I
hotel.
don't know. I don't know.
Ontario.
That's right. Yeah, we gotta get our, Get ourselves in there too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, do you mind if we put your email address on when the Anne sends out the recording so that people could ask questions, Lisa? Or
Sure. Yeah, no,
okay.
that's fine. I'll try my best to answer, and if not, I'll pick the brains of my board. I've only been on since February, and the board, the other five, I think Peter's been on for 2 or 3 years, but the rest have been on for like 20 years. They're just this huge wealth of information.
That's great. Thanks again for your time, and your presentation is very good.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Little bit before the top of the hour, Fraser, should we
Yeah, we've probably
give?
stopped the recording, Brandon, and I think we'll meet you again the 1st of next month.